Hello and welcome to Moaz. Are Rohingya refugees of the recent crisis going back to Myanmar anytime soon? How much do they know about the repatriation deal, and were they even part of the process? Exchange says it's not a case of when, it's a case of how. The team has just published a report looking at what over 1,700 Rohingya refugees across a dozen camps know and feel about returning to Myanmar. Giving a voice to the Rohingya, Exchange is showing their drive to go home, but not to the way it once was. Joining me to discuss their findings is Research Assistant Yanis Papasilikas.
What prompted you to do a repatriation survey at this time?
First of all, you know that we did two other surveys during 2017 and 2018. They were both about Rohingya refugees and their lives in the camps. And what we basically did in these two surveys, we gave the interviewees the opportunity to openly share their views and feelings about their life in the camps. The situation in Myanmar came up clearly as a topic of discussion. Many people discussed about not wanting to go back or definitely want to go back. And at the same time, we were thinking that basically talks about implementing the repatriation deal between Bangladesh and Myanmar came up. And then new articles started being written and talking about the voluntary notion of it and how it could be implemented in this situation. So we thought it's a really timely matter and that it would be really interesting to investigate it ourselves and probably give like a voice to those people who have not been heard from before. Therefore, we decided to bridge that gap and conduct our own research and find out whether and how they feel about repatriation. Rohingya themselves.
Okay. On reading the report, one of the key findings that really sticks out is that just over half of the refugees that you surveyed, only that half, had knowledge of the agreement. What does that finding really tell us?
Well, indeed, that was one of our most unexpected findings and very interesting ones, shall I say, because it can be taken two ways. First of all, some people might think that wow, there is half the population know about repatriation, which is something that they would not expect. On the other hand, I took it the other way, because thinking that repatriation should be voluntary, we would imagine that most people would know about it, or at least have the basic knowledge about it. So finding out that just 52% of the whole population knew about the deal or had heard about it, and specifically only less than half of the women did know about it, and we interviewed more women, which means that less people knew about it, did not really coincide with our expectations. And we can say that this finally proves that the voluntary notion does not apply in the Rohingya situation. How can someone who doesn't have the appropriate knowledge make an informed decision about it? How can they decide about their own and their family's future if they don't know the basics behind this whole deal?
From those who did know about repatriation, how were they finding out, and what did they actually know about it?
Well, yes, we first of all asked them how they first found out, like how they heard about it, and then we also asked them how do they keep getting informed during the process. And our findings show that men, mostly, had more overall knowledge than women. And this could be explained as men are more likely than women to have access to cell phones, internet, radio, etc., like the media in general. Whereas we found out that women mostly get informed by the word of mouth, if I shall say, like family, their husbands, their neighbors. So, yeah, with regards to their general knowledge, like how they get informed during the process, men mostly consult the Majis, which are the chief of camps, because they have like a better connection with them and they can discuss and they are more likely to be out of their houses, whereas women rely on their husband's information. What they found about it, with regards to their knowledge, they mostly gave their opinions with regards to how and why they think repatriation should happen or why it will happen. And most of them thought that it will happen eventually. And this is why, because they thought that Bangladesh is overpopulated. So that's something that probably came up with the media. And so they made them think that it's overpopulated, so they cannot really accommodate so many people at the same time. Whereas other people mentioned that it could be a propaganda by the media. Maybe that both countries have an ultimate plan to eradicate Rohingyas. Or finally, there were like many people who actually thought that there is light in the tunnel and that probably they have discussed, both governments have discussed, and they have decided that it's finally time to give Rohingyas their rights and they will do everything about it. So these are the opinions that came up with our in our survey.
Taking that a bit further, talking about the things that people were learning, did you learn anything through the surveys about what the Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh were learning about the attitudes in Myanmar towards their return?
Well, yes, not exactly. We didn't have a question like this, and basically people did not really know how the locals in Myanmar perceived the situation. But many people told us that they have relatives in Myanmar, in the Rakhine state currently. So they told us their views. They basically expressed their fears and the fears of those people who are still there. They told them that the situation has not changed. There was no respondent described the situation as good enough for return, let alone as ideal. Even more so, they all portrayed the situation as chaotic, saying that the Rohingya there are still experiencing acts of violence, looting of their properties, and therefore, they don't know what the future brings. And they're all waiting for some formal information to come up.
So they're still waiting for concrete information.
Exactly. Everyone has their opinions and what they've heard from their own families back there, but they do not have access to what is being said behind the walls, if I shall say.
Okay. So if I was to go down the road of the yes and the no's to going back, from the findings, it looks like you find a majority of respondents actually wanted to go back to Myanmar, compared to a very small number who said they wouldn't. Why do so many favor return, and did they share their perceptions of what going back would look like?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. We found that the majority, and when I say the majority, I mean 97.5%, want to go back. What we should notice, though, is that those people do not want to go back without any processes being taken towards that. So they have certain demands. These demands include receiving their nationality, being accepted as Rohingyas, being given opportunities, similar opportunities to the locals there, or being treated as equal human beings, basically, being given their properties back, because most of the people said that we were not homeless when we were in Bangladesh. People have taken our homes, they have killed our husbands and our wives. And apparently they know that this cannot be solved, but they want justice. They want the perpetrators to be taken to court and they want our properties back because they cannot return if they don't have homes. They don't want to go back to camps. They don't want to just shift the situation from Bangladesh to Myanmar, living in camps, because this is something that has been proposed already. So they basically want to start a new life in a different way. We also found that only 0.3%, which is like a really small number, would go back unconditionally, which is something that probably could be a result because that like they have family there and they would just like want to see them again. So we don't know exactly why, but it's only a small number. And we also asked them if they are afraid to go back, and as you can understand, this is probably why those people do not want to go back without those conditions being met. 98% of the adult Rohingya population are afraid to go back, and they have shared their fears. Why? And I can tell you that most of their fears are results of their already lived experiences. Nobody described a fear that came out of nowhere, for example. Everybody mentioned having experienced something really, really traumatic that they don't want to feel again. And to give you an example, we had people over the age of 70, which like men, not women, and they were sharing how before they even left Myanmar, how they were seeing women and children being kidnapped, raped, etc. So if you can imagine, like those people have seen everything, and they are men that could not really support their families or do anything about it. So you can understand how strong their fears are.
Okay, then. Of the no's, did any express a desire to stay? And if so, did they elaborate on the reasons why, staying in Bangladesh in this case?
Well, the vast majority said that they don't want to stay in Bangladesh permanently. The question was about if they want to stay permanently. So there were only a few people who both do not want to go back to Myanmar and would happily live in Bangladesh. But still, those people expressed their concerns about it as well, because staying in Bangladesh in a place where they don't have opportunities or they're not allowed to move freely is not something ideal, I can imagine. So they also gave us their demands, if I say. They want to be given opportunities with regards to employment, with regards to education for their children and themselves, so that they can start and build a new life in Bangladesh. But these people were not a lot. That's the thing. So the vast majority wants to go back. There were also some, only a few individuals that had such traumatic experiences that they do not want to stay in Bangladesh either. So they suggested that they would be taken somewhere else. And as a conclusion, I can tell you that with certainty that every Rohingya, the vast majority, at least 99%, either wanting to go back or wanting to stay in Bangladesh, they basically want to be accepted as Rohingya. And they want to be accepted as citizens of a country, even if it's Bangladesh or Myanmar. They want to be given the same opportunities. They're not demanding about something extremely weird or something. They just want their basic rights as human beings. They want to feel equal. That's it.
Persecution and repatriation are a decades-old story told about the Rohingya living between Myanmar and Bangladesh. At this stage, there have been no concrete statements on what Rohingya can expect on return. If you like this podcast, don't forget to hit like, comment, and subscribe for more podcasts from us. You can also follow us on our social media. Check out our latest updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Audioboom. Or you can donate to help us help Rohingya refugees. From all of us here at MOAS, goodbye.